Welcome to TechNori Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. Today's show is brought to you by MB Real Estate. MBRE is our real estate partner. They've helped me as well as our family office get in and out, for those of you in the COVID problem, out of space. And if you want help with that, I recommend reaching out to Nathan Miller on LinkedIn. Tell him I sent you. He will take care of you, I think. I hope. I promise. But anyway, MBRE is our sponsor for today's show, which is fitting, given the guest, Obi Risk. Aaron Lutzeiser is on the show. And we talk a lot about sort of real estate investing and the big change. I mean, his company, obviously, Obi, is awesome. I love it's sort of cover wallet for home insurance. And I think it's where everything is going. You're seeing companies like this all over the landscape who are trying to just like make it easier to do stuff that should be easy already, but is not. For whatever reason, if you've bought a home, or if you're an investor who buys homes, you know what a pain in the ass home insurance is. Imagine if you didn't have to spend hours on the phone with these people trying to answer stupid questions that are already on the internet that they could already have. Well, the people who are smart enough to not do that, go to Obi Risk. So obirisk.com, check that out. What we really talked about though that I thought was the most interesting is this, the shift. You hear people talk about all the time, young people don't buy houses. Younger couples not buying houses. That's true and not true. Like there's a lot of people I know my age who rent, but own like seven houses. They rent out seven houses as income, rental income properties, SFR. And then they actually rent themselves because they don't want to deal with the mortgage on it. They have an investment property or 10, but they don't want to be tied down. So they just do this. And I think it's a future. And I think a lot of younger people have no attention span like myself. So for them, like, I don't want to spend a bunch of time in this. Well, that's one house. Imagine if you had 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 100, 500. You're cutting a check for, you know, in some cases, hundreds of thousands of dollars every single year on your investment properties for insurance. And there's like, you have no options, but you actually do. You just don't know it. And so I think that the market is just ridiculous. I think the opportunity for a company like Obi is absurd because you could be a $1 billion company that no one's ever heard of. The market is just that big and the need is just that strong. So very good conversation. This is my interview with the co-founder of Obi Risk, Aaron Lutzeiser.
So Obi is an insurance and risk management platform for real estate investors. So started the company off with my brother Ryan, professional backgrounds, real estate, private equity, and really just found that the small to medium sized owners, even though you know, a lot of the technology and the software that's been developed for the space has been really geared towards the large, you know, Blackstones or Brookfields or Boston Properties of the world. But 80% of the total owned square footage in the U.S. are these small to medium sized owners, folks that have a couple of fix and flips or SFRs or apartment buildings. And so we really wanted to provide software to help mitigate one of the biggest pain points in ownership of the asset, which is the insurance process.
So as a person who, so this is backstory on this a little bit. So I just bought a house. We went through, you're literally in my new abode. And we went through the process of insurance and I think we ended up going with State Farm because we had like existing, you know, other shit on it. Right.
Sure.
It still sucked. Like it was brutal. And I'm like the questions they were asking and what they wanted. I'm like, this house is 118 years old.
Oh yeah.
And then immediately it's like, oh, knob and tube, huh? I'm like, no, hold on. Like we had to go through this thing with a fine tooth comb. And I just remember thinking, I have the means to like hire electricians and hire people to come and look. Not everybody does. And sure. Like, what is that? And you can't buy the home without the insurance. So like, you're literally in this position. Now that's just me personally, right? That's for anyone out there who's looking at this, like as a one offer. And I don't even know if you guys cater to them specifically or not.
Not specifically. So not necessarily the homeowner, unless it's an owner occupied, you know, apartment building or, you know, duplex, something like that. We gear ourselves directly towards the real estate investor. So take your exact same process and multiply that by, you 100. Know, a couple assets that somebody's buying a year or even a month, right? We have a client that buys probably 5 to 6 different assets a month, small, you know, 1 to 4 unit SFRs. And going through this exact same process that you just described. Now, a lot of folks, you know, you included, if you have a pre-existing relationship with State Farm, you're more likely to go towards them because the process for everybody across the board is a pain.
Yeah.
And so ultimately what we're trying to do eventually here is get you to a place that you feel really in control of that insurance process. We leverage all the publicly available data, right? I mean, I'm sure the information you put in was address and square footage and year built and all this data that ultimately the city, the state, private software platforms
already out there.
They've already aggregated.
Yeah.
And they're one click away on an API, right? And so, ultimately insurance is moving in that direction. Where I think a lot of the incumbents really are going to have to start to innovate, which as we know for really large companies can be challenging, which, gives smaller companies, more agile companies in the space an opportunity to really grow. And that means sometimes all we need is an address, because that's good enough depending on the municipality, depending on their records, depending on what's out there. That's sometimes all we need in order to be able to really get, 30, 40, 50 data points about your property and to be able to provide a quote almost instantaneously back to you.
So I want to dive into this on two fronts here. And I think the listener will understand that those who listen to the show regularly know that I get into real estate stuff a little bit more than other. And obviously this being insurance and real estate sort of lends itself in a couple, I guess lend is maybe a pun there. I'm not sure, but anyway. younger people, I don't know how old you are. I'll guess 30. Is that?
Yeah. 31.
Boom.
Good guess.
So I'm 36 and I already have no patience and everyone I know has no patience. And the irony, this is something that I think you'll get a kick out of is the statistics for younger people buying homes is like the lowest ever, right? Like,
sure.
And at the same exact time, the number of people who are in their late 20s to early 40s who are real estate investors has never been higher.
Oh, absolutely.
So like I talk to these people and they're like, oh, young people like you don't buy houses. Like, yeah, you're right. I buy fucking 10. Like yeah. I rent, but I buy houses to rent to other people. I rent it back to myself. And so, I think what's important about this is the market is growing so rapidly in that regard. And also, and we're going to get into even deeper stuff about, smaller property management groups and REITs that are investing in buying homes all over the country for the purposes of renting out. And previously this stuff would have been what you'd look at as like maybe less desired properties. This is now like premium properties. People just don't want to be on the hook for the mortgage. So what I'm getting at is with this growth, no one my age is okay with spending 45 minutes on the phone with some idiot from State Farm 15 times to get to something that was on the internet already. Like it just makes you pissed. And so like now I want to pivot a little bit in this conversation. So one of the companies that is part of our family office portfolio that I work and advise on is sort of the de facto CMO is called Second Avenue. And they are, comparative to say like an Invitation Homes type home, Open Door. Mm-hmm. And we're looking at SFRs all over the place, which I want to make introductions to the CEO of that company after this, by the way, because I think you guys could do some cool stuff. But at any rate, what we're seeing, and mostly in Florida, there are like six states now, is individual SFRs and groups that own, individual guys like you might own 5 to 10, guys who own, small groups own maybe 10 to 25, and then there's like 50 and 100 and 200. And in the past, when we talk to these older guys and girls, but mostly guys in this industry, who are involved in owning, you talked about Blackstone, who own thousands, right? Those who own, call it 125 to 500 homes. They have dealt with this process forever. Mm-hmm. And when we go in and we're like, what is, and I'm just putting this in context for the listener because I want to show like how you could do a lot of stuff, but the value proposition is the simplest, most obvious thing in the planet. When we talk to these companies and we say, we can help manage the homes, keep the renters happy, reduce your spend, increase your yield, reduce the spend by getting group benefits, by getting better overall pricing for everything. The very first thing on that list is time and money spent getting insured and covering insurance and having protection and liability insurance for XYZ unforeseen. You hire several people at your organization just to handle that shit.
Yeah.
We replace it like that because we have one source, Obi in this case, hopefully, that handles it. And so I think when we listen to this conversation, I think hopefully people will get a better understanding of what your company does. But I just want to like paint this picture in the background for people that you're solving a problem that you know, there's several problems that you're solving, like from an operational standpoint, but at its core, it is literally just making management clean.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you've completely hit the nail on the head. And I think, you know, what has been so interesting in this process of growing this company, obviously, you know, Ryan and I started this really under kind of the direction and original advisement and guidance in the real estate space from kind of these, you know, this older generation of owners, right? And they've had no other exposure to a different type of process. Yep. And so constantly, you know, using a fax machine and paying by paper check to pay your premium, that's just been the norm, yep. Right? But I think, you know, what we have really seen over the last, especially 6 to 8 months, is that as the demographic of owners change, for the first time probably ever in my insurance career, have people started asking, you know, what's the data going into the underwriting model, right? Is, you know, I have CapEx expenses, you know, I'm either going to replace all the flooring or I'm going to replace the roofs, right? And if I replace the roofs, is that ultimately going to lower my premium, right? And so for the first time, you have this generation that's grown up with an iPhone and has this expectation of technology being able to drive innovation and drive costs down. And I think that that's really going to be something that turns the entire insurance industry on its head. And ultimately, what we're trying to work on is to be able to do exactly what you talked about, which is, you know, give us a couple of data points. We'll use the APIs to pull in all the publicly available data that we have to be able to fill in the underwriting models of these carriers. And ultimately, you know, as we become a carrier one day ourselves in this space, to be able to provide you with an instant quote. And then from there, be able to pay for it with a credit card or be able to pay for it with an ACH, which is still such a novel concept in the insurance space. And then from there, give you a place where you can log in then and see a list of all the assets that you have, what your policy coverages are, what are the endorsements that you need. Maybe you're going to refi, right? Right now, the process to do a refi is you've got to get the lender, your insurance broker, you as the owner, maybe a property manager, and the carrier all together in order to make that mortgagee change. That's awful. That's 3 to 5 different people, probably a sum total of an hour being spent on something as easy as changing the name, the address, and the loan number on a document.
It's right? almost worse than buying cable. It's pretty close.
It's awful. And you know, the problem is it's not necessarily anybody's fault in the insurance space. I mean, you know,
they're just doing what they have to do.
Yeah. These independent insurance brokers really are at the mercy of a lot of these carriers as well. Right. And these carriers are so big that innovation, as we all know, and as probably your listeners know, is very challenging for large companies. And we're talking multi-billion dollar companies. And so now finally you're seeing the Lemonades and the Hippos of the world start to be able to provide renters and homeowners with a product that takes them 3 to 5 minutes to complete. And then at the end of it, you're not really over a barrel, right, in terms of what you have. You are able to manipulate the coverages that you want, the limits that you have. How does that impact price? And so finally, the consumer is now in control of the insurance process. Whereas before, historically, people just have not had a good experience with insurance. Overall, you know, in the insurance industry, NPS score is, you know, usually between 30 and 40 at most, because generally people just don't like dealing with this archaic process, right? You know, God forbid you ever have a claim. I mean, even that process, take just getting the insurance you thought was painful, going through the claims process, which is still so paper-based, is just way too antiquated for the solutions that technology can provide today.
It kind of reminds me, this is sort of a for insurance as Al Goldstein's recent masterpiece, Amount is to Banks.
Yeah,
so banks sure. could not absolutely could not serve an entire group of people because they didn't have the tech to pull in all the information and actually do it yeah. in a way that was affordable and made sense for a loan for somebody that, you know, normally they wouldn't serve. This does that for insurance. It makes it just that much easier for everyone to operate.
Yeah. And, you know, much like most industries, right? I mean, the target demographic of owners that we really specialize in, which does make up a majority of real estate investors in the country, they're still too small for these really large insurance brokerages. Even in yeah. town here, you have Aon, Hub International, now Aon and Willis, right? Arthur G. Gallagher. Great, massive insurance brokerages that have the line item for software development. Right. And they're building software to be able to support their own kind of complex insurance process. But that's never going to trickle down right to your small independent insurance broker that's trying to manage home, auto, life, health, investment properties, right? And they have to spread their carrier relationships across the board to be able to manage all of the type of inbound that they have coming to them. And so really where we fill the gap is we take a lot of the carrier relationships that some of these much larger brokerages would have for real estate investors specifically, and we pair that with technology and bring it down to the SFR and the small commercial owner.
So it makes a ton of sense. So where are you at in the business line? Like how, I know you guys have raised some money. The business seems to be going well. I have to imagine that it's going to be a fantastic 2021 is my guess, given the migrations out of every major city. So yeah. Tell me more.
Yeah. I mean, the company's doing great. We've been around for the last 18 months, slowly growing, you know, I'll tell you, we've about 100x where we were even just last summer in terms of gross written premium. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that we took what the normal broker is doing on a day-to-day basis and replaced that with technology. And so now our brokers spend their time providing more of a consultative relationship to our investors, right? So, you know, even on the back end, somebody comes in, they hit get quote. We have a system that basically takes what you know, a carrier provides. Every carrier has an appetite guide, right? What they want to write, what their risk tolerance is. And we built an algorithm on the back end to say, all right, we have a client that came in, it's value add multifamily in the Southeast. Here are the carriers that really want to write that type of risk. We can send that out to a Travelers or to another carrier, but they don't necessarily want to write habitational risk right now. And so knowing that they're still gonna price it, but they're gonna price it risk adjusted. And so we know that the carriers that we're matching our risks up to are going to be the best for that opportunity. And then the software then takes that information, formats it in the way that those specific carriers want it, and it automatically sends it out. And so we've taken what normally is a, you know, a week long back and forth in email and whittled that down to a couple of seconds. And then at that point, we can understand the goals around our different, you know, user and client. Maybe they want to go through a disposition. Maybe they're really concerned about price, right? They want to make this look very good on pro forma so that way they can go through a disposition and sell the asset at a profit. So we know that, and we can optimize their insurance coverage around that. Maybe somebody is a buy and hold owner. They want to put together more of a package for their insurance, put everything under one policy, and really optimize for the ease of managing that insurance portfolio. And so we built technology all around that, and really it has continued to grow substantially over the course of the last year.
As you peel the onion back, it even kind of has a feel like CoverWallet, which just had a tremendous exit. Like
Exactly. I mean, you know, CoverWallet has done a fantastic job in the personal line space and business owners, right? You know, we have our business owners policy through CoverWallet. I you know, we could write it ourselves or through contacts we have in the industry, but CoverWallet makes it so easy for you to go in, enter a couple of pieces of information, get several options that are right in front of you, put me in the driver's seat, even as an insurance broker,
yeah,
and then ultimately on the back end, have a place for me to be able to manage that. We essentially want to do the exact same thing for the real estate investment market.
Well, it worked out for those investors, so I'm going to imagine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Things have worked out well. This is, I mean, listen, there's a bunch of different businesses that are doing this in different capacities across all of these very thick and red tapey type industries. Sure. And the ones that get it right are the ones that understand intimately the problems that the people, not, I mean, yeah, the customer, obviously, but that's an obvious one, right? They just want to stop making a pain in the ass out of this. Internally, on the other side, though, you have to solve those problems, which I think mm-hmm. is the part that makes you interesting. So the ones that I think have had a lot of success and will continue to have a lot of success are the ones that the people behind it, you in this case, have an intimate knowledge of how much heavy lifting goes on behind the closed doors. So I'm curious, like obviously you mentioned a little bit about your background, but what is your sort of development and career path as you started to see this is like an opportunity, but also something you could solve?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, my background is actually a little unique to this space. So I originally started in the public policy space, to be honest, doing a lot of policy development work around the country. Ultimately, you know, built a nonprofit that I grew around the rest of the country. You know, at that point, obviously needed to make other money. Nonprofits aren't exactly known for being able to always pay the bills, especially one that I started.
It's in
myself.
The name, Aaron. It's in the name.
Absolutely. Somebody, yeah, I should have read a little careful on that. And so, you know, my brother and I, we started a real estate fund. His background was real estate private equity, doing a lot of ground up development, multifamily housing. You know, at his peak, probably had about $300 million worth of assets under management. And, you know, really between, you know, and I had played around in the insurance space as well, ultimately. It was an easy way in the real estate world to try and get my feet wet in an area that has great margins, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's antiquated, but you can make a lot of money in it. So
there's never not going to be a need a place to put people. Like,
oh, absolutely.
And anything that serves it is all, you're always going to need a plumber. You're always going to need, like, all these ground level services are the safest businesses on the planet. They can't.
Yeah. And, you know, ultimately what happened is, you know, I think the perfect convergence, right? The perfect storm of Ryan's, you know, growing multifamily portfolio and my background in insurance and just going through that process of getting that and saying, you know, this has just got to end, right? At the end of the day, you know, owners are constantly passing the same information back and forth. They always have access to it. It's in front of them. It's at their fingertips. Why not give them a very easy way of getting a, you know, a fast and transparent and consultative insurance quote, and then also give them a place to really manage that? Because as these portfolio grows, and you'll know this as well, you know, after you get the bug to buy your first fix and flip, buy your first SFR, right, you want to buy another, and you want to buy another, and then ultimately maybe you start buying a couple of duplexes or triplexes. Maybe you do a, you know, 3-4 unit, you know, walk up apartment building, right? And ultimately these portfolios continue to grow and they get more complex and people need a way of managing this, because ultimately on the insurance side, there are so many people that are involved in this that normally are connected via email. So you have the owner, your property manager, the maintenance folks, your lender, right? The insurance broker. There's all these people that need to be connected into this process that ultimately is slowed down to a crawl, because everybody's stuck in this exact same process and we're all in email, right? I had a call actually just before this, an owner with a lot of fix and flips that they do in Columbus, Ohio. They have about 18 of them. They pay an individual policy for every single one of those and they have to pay by check. So every time they make a change on it, every time they do something, that carrier sends them out a paper policy document, right? Anytime that there's a change in premium, they have to pay it by check. They want to pay by, you know, they want to pay monthly. So they're sending out monthly checks. This is insanity in 2020. You know, it is not something that has to be done this way. And ultimately, you know, we wanted to put together a process that tried to shine some light on this and also really just tried to change the overall consumer outlook on insurance. You know, as these portfolios grow, we have a client with, you know, about $200 million in multifamily. He's paying, you know, $700,000 a year in insurance. And on the commercial side of insurance, you're paying in full and upfront at the beginning of the term. So that's a hefty check that they pay out every single year. Most of these carriers don't want to quote stuff out until a couple of weeks before renewal anyway. So, you know, you're left writing this check where you feel like you don't have a lot of control in that process. And that's an awful feeling. And so it's not surprising at all that people, you know, they go through that process, they spend 4 weeks doing it, they write the check, and then they want to, you know, it's out of mind until next year. We ultimately want to change that.
Well, I mean, listen, is there anything worse than writing a gigantic check where you have no, like, it's not, they just take it basically.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, it's yeah. Like, and you're
can't
forced.
Even negotiate.
You feel forced, right? I mean, it's you feel over a barrel. I mean, it's a terrible position to be in as a real estate investor. Knowing that insurance is one of your largest line item expenses, and in the habitational space, especially where the owner is the one responsible for the cost of insurance. Whereas if you own a retail space or an office building, you're passing that along to your tenants. But in multifamily, in single family, this is a large expense on your balance sheet.
Yeah.
And every $1,000 that I can save you on your insurance premium cost, we're adding about $20,000 in value instantly on pro forma. That's a no-brainer when you can save somebody 10, 15, 20% on their premium costs.
Oh, for sure. I mean, especially in real estate, because like in other things, you can always say like, oh, we saved you. It's cost savings.
Sure.
And that whatever. Sometimes it's really worthwhile. Sometimes it's not. SaaS products and management tools. Like, I don't, you end up just spending it somewhere else.
No, oh, yeah.
In this though, in real estate, like literally the percentage of return and yield is the entire, that's the battle. So like every single thing that you can cut down, it's almost like the restaurant industry.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're seeing this, you know, play out right now, right? In a good economy, limiting insurance expenses for the GP on a property is great for them. They're trying to hit their promote. They're going to end up making more money because they're driving down costs and increasing NOI. In a bad economy, is, you know, an uncertain economy, which you know, over the last couple of months has certainly impacted landlords. You know, their charge, their, you know, their only goal in owning these assets is how can we increase NOI? How can we cut out costs to make sure that if we have somebody that's going to be a little late on their rent payment this month, how can we make sure that we're continuing to drive value into this asset? And insurance being a large expense on that is one of the best ways that you can drive down those costs. And it's easy, right? If you can make it easy to do, ultimately, we're going to continue to empower the customer to go in and find ways of making it more cost effective to be a landlord in today's market.
Makes perfect sense. So what are the things that for you to keep growing at this pace that you are, that you have to get right or stay focused on?
Yeah, great question. So we have something really exciting, actually, that we're going to be launching probably in Q1 of next year. So I'm sure a lot of your listeners are familiar with a Lemonade or Hippo or some of these other kind of instant products. Kin here in town does a great job on the homeowner space.
Love Kin. Sean's been on the show about a half dozen times.
Oh, yeah.
Can't get enough of us.
So same exact model, but we're doing it for the SFR space. So 1-4 unit SFRs starting out here in the Midwest. We're creating an MGA to give you an instant product. We want to provide those clients with the same type of experience that you can have with Kin or have with Lemonade, where you go in, answer, you know, maybe 5 to 7 questions. We'll pull probably 20 to 30 data points from other publicly available sources that exist out there. We're going to give you a quote in a minute and then give you the opportunity then to change limits as you need it. We'll be able to add in the lender into that process. And so the lender can come in and add all the information that normally I, as the insurance broker or the owner, would be getting that from the lender and saying, hey, you know, I need this added to the, you know, the policy. I need this language added to the policy, right? Consolidating that into one place and then giving those owners a lot of control. That's really the next step in this evolution, because ultimately in this space, we can do everything we can under our power to speed up the time it takes to get information out to a carrier. But at that point, it's really out of our control. All we can do is get the information to that carrier in the format that would make it easiest for them to underwrite it, but it still could take a day, 2 days, a week. We pride ourselves on usually being able to get a quote back to somebody in 72 hours or less, which is still, you know, a hell of a lot better than beating the industry average of about 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But we want to continue to shrink that down.
I love it. This is awesome. I want to congratulate you guys on the success, because I know that this is a very hard thing to get off the ground. Like it takes a lot. There's a lot of moving parts. And having talked to Sean Harper and others from like Kin and Colin Lakasugi on Clear Cover and others, like this is an industry that is just, it's ripe for disruption, but there's a reason that all the people are trying to do it. And it's because it's hard as shit to do.
Yeah.
And so to even get in this point is awesome. And I also think for people who listen and maybe are like, oh, another one of these type of like kind of companies, it's like the SF1, you could have literally $100 billion companies and still not even be touching like anything as far as the total addressable market.
Oh, absolutely.
You can be a $1 billion company and no one even know who the hell you are, which is cool. The SFR space is growing like crazy. And I think that spot to me is just ready for this, because all of the people who get into it, generally speaking, not the professionals that are at the, you know, what do you call it? The institutional level, but the regular ones, they were a dentist. They were a lawyer. They were a guy like me. They don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Sure.
It's like to have access to somebody who's like, no, you're going to be surprised. It's actually easier to do it with us here than it is to handle your own personal insurance.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Right. I mean, I'm an insurance broker. I have my policy through Lemonade, right? Yeah. I could have written that. I could have had a broker do it in our office. I did it through Lemonade because I did it in like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And they took a credit card. They make it very easy to do it. If I have any issues, it is very easy to handle that. My auto insurance is through Geico, right? Because they made it super easy for me to go in and get it done, be able to control that experience. You know, this is the way that the insurance market is ultimately moving. And we want to be at the forefront of that. The SFR market in terms of premium is right around $30 billion, right? I mean, it's a massive, massive space. And, you know, to your point, there are the Blackstones, the Invitation Homes of the world that have thousands and thousands of units. But, you know, there are millions of SFR units in the United States. And these are, to your point, again, these are owned by a doctor or somebody or a lawyer or somebody that has accumulated wealth and now wants to start diversifying their investment portfolio. A lot of people can do this. Now, as you start to see fractional ownership and SFR portfolios, I mean, there's going to be so much access to the investment property world that you know, you can continue to rent while also owning several properties. Our, you know, our head of product, he rents here in the city. He owns six SFR units down outside of the University of Kentucky, right? Because that is a way the appreciation on these assets far outweighs the, you know, the cost of even potentially becoming a, you know, a homeowner.
Yeah.
And I think as the market continues to shift, if we continue to see people with at least a short-term exodus out of urban areas into suburban areas, you know, you're going to see an explosion of normal what were homes turn into single-family rentals.
Yeah. Oh, I completely agree with that. And kind of on a closing note of this, like I really think just to, I guess, put a cherry on the rental thing, I think when you looked at people our parents' age, they bought a home. One, the prices were completely different. I mean, like astronomical. It's sort of like the comparison right now. And I know that the market's insane. And so like Apple is like $2 trillion and you're like, oh my God, it could be $3 trillion. Like maybe, I don't know. What we're talking about is like when our parents bought a house, it's like buying Apple at $10 a share. Mm-hmm. At buying Apple at $412 a share, over the next 10 years, I do not anticipate it to be worth $1,400 a share like it was for my parents. So they buy a home for $100,000 really or less in a lot of cases. And they sat there for 40 years, 30 years. And now they sell their house for $500,000. For those of us who move in at our age, we don't stay in one place for more than 20 minutes. So like we buy a house for $500,000-$600,000. We'll be out of here in like probably 5 or 6 years at the most. And it might not be because we like got rich and bought a bigger house. It's just literally like I got tired of that view. And that, it's like how we are. So like for us, the home is like guaranteed appreciating asset. It's not entirely accurate.
Yeah.
And so for a lot of younger people, I think you're going to start seeing them rent houses because I'm here for 3 or 4 years. And to be honest, would I rather sink all of my money into this thing or rent for like 2 years and find it? It's almost like leasing a car in my mind.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And this is definitely the way the market is trending. You know, I'm not all that surprised, given kind of the demographic of what would have been, you know, first time home buyers. But you know, it makes a lot of sense, right? If you can buy an investment property and, you know, you are basically making a couple hundred bucks a month and covering your mortgage.
Yeah,
that makes sense because you can sit on that investment property for a long time and finally hope for the appreciation that you thought you might get by buying your own home.
Yep. It makes sense. I think it's a fascinating, I think, change and shift in thought. But I also think, you know, like I was mentioning about the lease car, I'm a lease car guy. Mm-hmm. I think I always anticipate my vehicle fee for the year to be X, my living expense to be X. And as long as I don't have to drop, you know, several hundred thousand dollars into the abyss, if I have other properties and other things that I want to invest my money in, whether it's gold or Bitcoin or whatever the case may be, I can leave that there and then rent to live. And I know what my fixed costs are going to be.
Absolutely.
And that's basically the war. It's like make every dollar make you money and have every dollar that is not making money predictable.
Absolutely. Yeah. Couldn't agree more.
This is fascinating. I like this a lot, Aaron. I appreciate you guys coming on the show. Where do people go to learn more about it?
People can go to obirisk.com, obierisk.com.
Simple enough. Well, yeah. I appreciate you taking the time to come on the show. For everyone else who's listening to the show, if you're not following Instagram, Technori, or at Katoon on Instagram for the pitch reviews, you're missing out. Companies similar to Obi that raise money via equity crowdfunding from our partners at Republic, you can invest in directly. And I basically just do a pitch review. If you're familiar with Dave Portnoy's bar stool pizza review, it's that, but for startups. And I think if you're into startups, you will dig it. So check that out. Otherwise, technori.com. Boom. That's a wrap.